WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
William Novak was in his mid-30s when he took on his first ghostwriting assignment. The first thing he had to decide was, should he address his collaborator as Lee or Mr. Iacocca? But the bigger worry was whether anyone would want to read Lee Iacocca's life story. Novak spent 40 hours interviewing Iacocca and a year and a half writing the book. Iacocca, an autobiography, became a runaway bestseller, and Novak's career was launched as the writer famous people turn to when they want to tell their life stories. After Iacocca, Novak went on to work with Sidney Biddle Barrows, The Mayflower Madam, Tip O'Neill, and Natan Sharansky. He's currently writing a book with Nancy Reagan. He's one of the writers credited with making the ghostwriter visible and elevating collaboration to a respectable and lucrative profession. When Novak writes an autobiography, he gets shared credit on the book's cover, an idea that came about unexpectedly.
When I was offered the Iacocca book, and the publisher and I were not in 100% agreement on what the fee should be, they said, but you can always have your name on the book. They offered my name on the book in lieu of additional money. And I thought that was an interesting offer, but having never done a book like this, I wasn't sure I wanted my name on the book. Back in 1982, when this project came about, it wasn't clear to me that this was respectable work. It still had a kind of a negative tinge on it. And I had it written in my contract that it would be my decision at the end whether or not my name would be on the book. I wasn't sure I would like the book, but I did, and my name was on it, and of course I'm very glad it was.
You know, I've interviewed a lot of famous people on the occasion of the publication of their autobiography, and many of them tell me about the agony of facing the blank page every day while they're writing their book. And I, of course, think to myself that agony is probably really being experienced by the person who's writing the book with them. Now, when you're writing a book with somebody, do they write a first draft?
Only one person I've worked with has actually taken pen in hand. That was Natan Sharansky. He wrote an entire first draft. It was translated, and I worked from the translation and with him to add, expand, and enliven it. But normally the people do most of their work through conversation with me.
So what do you do exactly? What's your style? You do a long series of interviews with the person who you're writing about?
Yes. The trickiest thing at first is usually to get enough time with my partner, my writing partner. And I go in person and sometimes supplemented by phone calls, and tape, get as much on tape as possible, 50 hours, 100, even 200 hours on tape. I ask questions. I encourage them to go on their own tangents. As long as the material is not repeating itself, almost anything they tell me is potentially useful for a book. I find that a book is a very large package to fill. The more I have on tape and then transcribed, the more secure I feel that I'll be able to write that book.
Now, as a reader, I suppose I should feel that the person whose book this is telling me in their own voice about what their life has been like. How did you learn how to write in the voice of somebody else?
I learned by doing it wrong. I guess that's the best way to learn. When I first handed in half of the Iacocca book, the publisher, Bantam Books, rejected it. They said, "This is too well written." Now, this was a problem for me. I had spent my whole life as a writer trying to be a good writer, and it was certainly the first time I'd ever had material rejected for being, in quotation marks, too well written. But they were right. It was literary. It did not sound like Lee Iacocca sitting in your living room. That's what they wanted, and that's what I had to go back and learn. I had to create with less literary artifice. I had to put less of myself and much more of the person I was working with. And I had to make it casual, and I had to break a number of the writing rules I had learned along the way.
Such as? What's a rule you had to learn to break?
Well, I had to be willing to use more clichés if the person used clichés. I had to start sentences with but and. I had to write in a more casual and informal way than I had been used to. And it took some getting used to. I still don't find it easy.
When you're writing somebody's autobiography, do you take their word on everything, or do you fact-check and play the role of journalist? For instance, if Sidney Biddle Barrows, the Mayflower Madam, tells you that all the women who worked for her really respect her, that they got along really well, that she was always on their side, are you going to call up some of the women who actually worked for her service and see if they agree?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because in no other book that I have as many questions as I did with Sydney. This story was simply too good to be true. And for that reason, and also to supplement the book, I told her I'd like to interview some of, as she called them, the girls who worked for her. And to my great relief, and to some extent to my surprise, they corroborated her story one after another, but in very different ways and in their own words. And that was very reassuring to me, because I don't want to tell a story that is not true. At the same time, in every book I'm associated with and in every autobiography ever written, there are untruths. That is, everybody sees the world differently, and my job is to help the person tell the story as they recall it and as they want to present it.
Do you have to convince the people you're collaborating with to talk about their defeats as well as their triumphs, to talk about the things that might be embarrassing to them but are actually going to be very interesting to readers?
That's a good and important question. I said to one of these people, you know, you'll have to tell me also about your mistakes. And he said, he thought for a minute, he said, Bill, I can't think of any. The rest, I've told others that story, others with whom I've worked, and they all agree that they must discuss their mistakes. But we have a way, all of us, I think, of filtering them out and concentrating on our successes. But of course, for a book to be credible and interesting, it's much better if it includes some mistakes and some roads that perhaps should not have been taken.
Now, the book that you're working on now is an autobiography of Nancy Reagan. You're working with her on that. Did Nancy Reagan choose you, or was it the publisher's choice?
Well, I think in these cases, you have to be approved by both parties. And what happened here was Random House called me one day and said, there's a possibility that we might ask you to work with the First Lady, Nancy Reagan. How do you feel? And I said, let me think about it. And I asked my wife, I said, what do you think about Nancy Reagan? She said, just say yes. I went back, I said I'd be happy to meet Nancy Reagan. At that point, I still believed what I was reading in the papers, and I wasn't entirely sure I wanted to work with Nancy Reagan. When I met her, I found that her public image was completely misleading, that this was a warm and kind and thoughtful and intelligent and funny person, and I immediately signed up and hoped she would choose me, which she did.
Now, Nancy Reagan is best known in her work for her Just Say No campaign, and several of the People pages of magazines and newspapers have reported that one of your previous books was called High Culture, Marijuana in the Lives of Americans, and that about your own experiences, you wrote in the book, for me, marijuana has been an intellectual stimulant. Did she know that you'd written that book when she chose you?
5 minutes after my first meeting with her agent, I said, there is a potential problem here. I have written a book that could be embarrassing, and I want to be clear about it, because I foresaw this happening. And when it did happen, when the press did link up these two projects, I was very glad that I had informed the White House, and there was no problem, because they had been told.
So there's no Novak gate here?
No, apparently not.
She reacted.
That book on marijuana, which was my first, was written in a previous era, in a previous period in my life, and we go on and do other things, all of us.
You've written several bestsellers, but those bestsellers have been other people's autobiographies. Your own books haven't sold nearly as well. Do you want to parlay the success that you've had with the autobiographies into being able to write more books of your own?
I'll tell you, the things I would like to write about, whether it's, for example, the spiritual lives of American Jews, or the people in this country who are behind the nascent tofu industry, I have some fairly eccentric interests, which I don't think would necessarily be the stuff for bestsellers. So as long as I want to make a living at this, I might be advised to continue doing what I'm doing, which I happen to enjoy very much. People sometimes ask me, but how can you stand doing work for which you don't get so much credit? I get more credit and more attention for writing these so-called ghostwritten projects than I ever did for my own work.
Have you ever thought about how you would write your own autobiography if you were writing about yourself?
My wife, you know, jokes that she would like to carry a sign into a party that says, with William Novak, or that, and people sometimes say, boy, you ought to write about all the people you've met. I'll tell you, the people I've met have told me some wonderful and fascinating things, but those are all used up in their books. My life is like any journalist or writer, spent mostly by myself, locked up in a room typing. And it's not all that interesting. I don't think my autobiography is a future bestseller at all. And I think it's best unwritten.
Okay, well, thanks very much for talking with us about writing.
Thank you.
William Novak is working on two books now, Nancy Reagan's autobiography and an anthology of recent American humor. This is Fresh Air.